But you can take your Bibles tonight. We're going to start in John chapter 3, in verse 1. And tonight I'm going to be sharing on limitless living. Limitless living. In John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except what?
God
be with them." So this ruler of the Jews recognized the great power that Jesus Christ had. And he also recognized the source. He knew that the only way that that was possible, to do the things that he witnessed Jesus Christ doing, was that God had to have been with him. And Jesus' response is, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So Nicodemus says to him, "I don't think this is possible unless or except God is with you." And Jesus says, "Well, the only way you're going to see the kingdom of God, the only way you're going to have a relationship with God is to be born again." To be born again. So the only way that we get to walk and talk with God is through the new birth. And that new birth is that path to limitless living. It replaces sin with redemption. It replaces law with grace. It replaces inability with power. And it replaces death with life. And in verse 16, this is a parenthetical reference to the record, but it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life." And whosoever means, whosoever. Right? So that's how big God's love is. Right? He wants people to be able to come into his family. He wants people to be able to fellowship with him. He wants people to be able to walk and talk with him. Go to Psalm 139, verse 8. And so he's made available for whosoever. Nicodemus came to Jesus Christ in the middle of the night because he was a leader amongst the Jews. And he didn't want to give up that position. He didn't want to be seen taking counsel from Jesus Christ, because that would have put him in a weird place. But he hungered to know how to have that relationship with God. Right? A high-up religious leader, one of the big shots in that community. But he, too, wanted to walk and talk with God. He obviously didn't have that relationship, or else he wouldn't be asking Jesus Christ how to get it. Psalm 139, verse 8. It says, "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." Right? So nobody is so far out of the reach of God's love. Right? You can't become so big and so high in society or wealth or status that, you know, God doesn't love you or that you're out of the reach of God's love. But more importantly, you can't become so low and, you know, so down and out that God can't reach you with his love either. Right? Whether it's I ascend up into heaven or make my bed in hell, God is there. His love is there. Go to Acts chapter 4, verse 10. Acts chapter 4, verse 10. And how magnificent it is that God would make that available to whosoever. That they can have everlasting life. God bless you. That they can have a life that's limitless. Not only in what's to come, but here on earth. Acts 4, verse 10. "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God has raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone, which was set at naught or despised of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Right? We must be saved. It's by Jesus Christ's name. That's how we get this limitless life. Right? In our physical lives, it's dark inside your mom's womb. Right? You can't see anything in there. But when you're physically born, that's the first moment that you physically see life. Well, it's the same thing with being born again. The moment you're born again is the first time that you can see the spiritual light in your life, right? It's your entree into the spiritual light. It comes by believing, Romans 10, 9, and 10. Not by good works, not by holy rituals, not by traditions. It comes simply by Romans 10, 9, and 10. We'll go there real quick. We all know it. Romans 10, 9, and 10 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's it. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So that's what gives us this new birth. That's what helps us. That's our entree into the spiritual light that we have with God. Go to 1 John chapter 3. And that's what Nicodemus wanted to know about. How can I have this limitless life that I see you living in Jesus Christ? How can I do the things that I see you do? He witnessed the miracles that Jesus Christ did. He wanted that. Well, it comes with a relationship with God. And the only way that we can have a relationship with God is by becoming his sons and daughters. It says in 1 John 3, 1 and 2, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now, right now, are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So the new birth makes us sons and daughters of God. Right now, you're a son or daughter of God. What wouldn't God do for his kids? Right? What wouldn't God do for his kids? What didn't he do for Jesus Christ? He did everything for him. Whatever Jesus Christ needed, God took care of it. In chapter 5, verse 1, and we're brothers and sisters with Christ. We have that same ability. In chapter 5, verse 1, it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes what? The world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith or our believing. Right? We have overcome the world. We have the victory. That's God's promise. We can live a limitless life, a victorious life, a life that has overcome the world. And it's by our believing. It's by what we believe. It started when we believed Romans 10, 9, and 10. And it continues with what we believe from God's word. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 21. So he's given us the victory. And in verse 21 it says, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Right? He made Jesus Christ sin for us so that we could be made righteous. Jesus Christ never sinned, right? But God's not asking us to walk perfectly. He's not asking us to walk without sin. Jesus Christ became sin so that we could be made righteous. And that's the way that God sees us. He doesn't ask us to walk perfectly. He looks at us as righteous. He looks at us as if we've never sinned because of what Christ accomplished. Our sins are paid for, past, present, and future. If we ask for forgiveness, he's quick and just to forgive us our sins. Right? We've been made righteous, so what's holding us back? We have limitless living. There's nothing that God won't do for us. Any limits that we experience aren't coming from the Father, right? He wouldn't limit us. In chapter 6, verse 1, the next verse, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. We're workers together with God. How crazy is that? We get to work together with God, God Almighty. We get to be fellow laborers with him. It says that in 1 Corinthians 3:9. It's up to us to receive the grace that God's given to us. It's not that he's not giving it, but it's up to us to receive it. We can choose to be like, no, I don't think God loves me. Or I don't think this I'm the best for him. But that's not what God wants. God's grace is freely given. We're workers together with him. How can you fail when you work with God? Right? You can fail by trying to do stuff yourself all the time. I do it all the time. But when we involve God, then we'll succeed. Right? Let the world see you manifest the limitless life. Go to Romans chapter 8. Remember the movie Office Space? Someone's got a case of the Mondays. Right? We don't ever have to have a case of the Mondays or any day. Every day should be a glory to God. It's a 7-day-a-week thing, right? It's life in all capital letters. God's made that available to us. In Romans 8:29, it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And that's talking about us. That Jesus Christ would be the firstborn among many brethren. We're his brethren. And he knew that we would believe. Moreover, verse 30, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. You've been called to a great calling. You've been called to be children of God. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also what? Glorified. Sometimes I don't feel all that glorious. But God's given us the glory. He's glorified us. When he looks at us, he sees us as the best of the best. And he's justified. He's given us justification. Just as if we've never sinned. That's the way he sees us. Verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? A rhetorical question. No one can. Because God's on our side. When we walk with God, when we work together with him, then no one can be against us. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If he was willing to give the life of his only begotten son, what is he going to hold back from you? Right? What limits is he going to put on his giving? There aren't any. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is it God that justifieth? Or it is God that justifieth? Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Tribulation is trouble or affliction. Is trouble going to separate us from the love of Christ? Distress is anguish, suffering, or hardship. We all go through stuff, but is that going to separate us from the love of Christ? Is God going to stop loving us because you know, we're going through a hard time? No. Or persecution. Or is God going to stop loving us when people or the world persecute us? Or famine or nakedness? It's a poverty or lack of material necessities. If you don't have enough, does God stop loving you? No, there's nothing, there's no amount that you could have to earn God's love. Or peril or sword, literal danger. None of that's going to separate us from the love of God. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, not true. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Right? And that's a promise from God's word. As we walk with him, as we work together with him, we're more than conquerors. More than conquerors in any situation. And that's a limitless life. What are you facing that you can't conquer with God? The answer is no. Right? We just have to believe it. We have to get to the place in our hearts and our minds where that's what we believe, that God will take care of us. And sometimes it's not the way that we think God's going to take care of us. We need to stop deciding how God's going to take care of us and let God take care of us and trust him to take care of us. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Right? Nothing's going to take that away from us. That's limitless living. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. We've got to get to the place where we just accept that what God says in his word is true. And the things that he's made available are ours to claim, and they're ours to freely claim. We don't have to do anything for it. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to prove ourselves. We are already righteous. In Ephesians 3:20, it says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we what? Ask or think. You know, and I'm so guilty of this that I'll try to figure out how God's going to deliver me from the situation instead of just trusting that God's going to deliver me from the situation. Right? I'll run all the scenarios over my head. Oh, well, if God does this, that'll take care of it. Or if God does that, that'll take care of it. Instead of just saying, God, will you take care of it? Whatever that looks like. It's exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. It's not up to us to come up with the solution. It's up to us to trust that God will. Right? That is what unlocks this limitless living that's available. According to the power that works in us. Right? That's the power that we have. We have the power that we have is our relationship with God. The power that we have is the ability to manifest Holy Spirit. Right? To walk and talk with God, to operate the nine manifestations, to get revelation from God so that we know what to do, not so that we can figure it out ourselves. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Right? God has made us glorious. God has made us redeemed. He's made us sanctified. He's justified us. Right? We have everything that we could need in this limitless life. We just have to trust that God's going to come through and not try to figure it out ourselves. Right? Our flesh is weak and our spirit is strong. And that's what's going to cause us to have that more than abundant life and live as more than conquerors.